Praise the Lord. Thank you, praise team. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for always being there. I know you are short-staffed, but you guys are doing a great job. God bless each and every one of you for your devotion, promoting the gospel. Father, we thank you this morning because you are God. We praise you, Lord, because you endure forever. Thy word, O Lord, is established. Nothing can change or move it. We are here before you this morning to receive your blessings as children, as sons and daughters of God. Now come and bless your word this morning. Let it bear fruit in our life. To your glory we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. We finish up the part of message we started on a crossover night on Eagle's Wing. On Eagle's Wing, Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. And this is part 2 on Eagle's Wing, part 2. The first one was part 1, and this is part 2. That's a continuation. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. If you can, please put it on the scripture for us. Exodus 19, 4. Is somebody on the board there? Huh? Oh, is there? Oh, it's not showing up on the one before me here. The screen wasn't turned on. So, hallelujah. We read. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. In this message, in the first part, we spoke about several things, about four of them. We'll come to that later on. But before we do, let's summarize just some of the things we got from the first part of the message. The ego here is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the eagles is me and you. We had a picture of it on the screen. The eagles perching on the mother's back. They were flying around. And we spoke that eagles is a bird of noble and royal character that even people in the world want to associate with it. They put the picture of eagles on their ensigns, on their emblems, on their flags, on their pulpit, like what we have there. Because of the character that God has imbued on eagle. And some of this character, quite a lot of them, but we choose probably about 7, spoke on 4. We're going to speak on 3 today. As such, that Christ wants this kind of character formed in us. Formed in us, not only formed, but nurtured in us, and retained in us as children of God. It's interesting that say that God did not choose like elephants, the biggest of the animals in the forest out there, the lions, the boldest, the mighty lion, or the whales and stuff. He chose ego. And associate us with it. I have scriptures to that fact. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount on wings like eagles. In Isaiah 40, 31, we come to that later on. Across the scripture, many scriptures that relate us to the mother eagle and the eagles. The world look at this and say, okay, why is that? Why does God associate us? You know, I've taught in this pulpit at times, when it comes to finances, financial wisdom, you say, go to the ant and learn what they do in their colonies, underground, how they store up their food during the rainy seasons and during the dry seasons. And when it's raining, they go there and they're able to divide up to everybody, able to sustain themselves and live without coming up above ground and be carried by the flood. Say, look at their management, their economy, their ability to manage these things. So also God is talking to us through the ego, that there are certain character in these egos that we need. We spoke that ego can ride the storm to advantage. In other words, when trials of life and things of life seems to shake you and me, those that are egos in nature will endure. And definitely, there will be time it will come like a flood. The vision of ego that's able to see 340 degrees and able to change their focus into dimensional vision, that at times when they go into storm, they change their focus to able to see through the storm of life, and they have this vision that can see almost all around them, 30, 40 degrees. We spoke of the ego that is able to renew their strength. When their strength is fledging, when they are about to give up in life, when they say all is done, you are done, they go to the inner cave and start to pluck out all the dead things in their body, their talons, their peaks. They pluck it out, they pull out their feathers, they throw them out, and this great ego becomes nothing at that point. But a few weeks later on, they start to grow it back. Therefore, it says, they that were shall renew their strength like the eagles. So we spoke on these things, these qualities, these characters, characteristics of egos, that Christ will like to be formed in you. Formed, I say formed. When any man become a Christian, a child of God, is a new creature, you start to form certain things. There are so many mistakes in our life. There are so many failures in our life. There are so many things in our life that we have been accustomed to. But when you become a Christ, you start to learn. You start to put it in together, try to make changes, move in upward trajectory to do better and better for Christ unto the perfect day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now remember, I'm not an ornithologist. Those are the people that study birds. So some of these things are borrowed from what others have written. Some of these things are from people who watch these birds and put them together. And it's quite interesting that this bird of noble stature, majestic in type, has all this character in them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Christ will like you and me to imitate some of these characters. Now, today, we are going to only take three, the last ones of this series. One of them is that ego are faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That egos are faithful. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Egos are faithful in nature. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Eagles are faithful birds to their spouse, to their children, and even in the community. But they start from the home. We spoke in the first phase how they build their nest on a high rock, thousands of feet out in the sky, find a rock or highest of the trees and build their trees. And we spoke on that part one, how they decorate, put the trees together and stuff. There's a purpose to what they do. Even a point they put thorns and then cover it with feathers. They are faithful because they knew that at a point we are going to eject our children to move out. And we want them to survive. And they plan for their future. They plan for their welfare. The Bible says that as a custodian, a steward, you are called to be faithful. The faithfulness that we are talking about is not just when people talk of faithfulness. Are you giving enough money? That's not just what we're talking. We're talking of faithfulness to God, faithfulness to people, faithfulness to your own people, your own spouse, your own wife, your own husband. Are you faithful? We're not just talking of cheating or people running around, but it's also part of it. Faithful in doing what you should do as a man to make sure that your family is taken care of. Faithfulness in doing what you should do to your children. Faithfulness in doing what you should do in your community. Because faithfulness is the ability to do the right thing and to continue in it. Not that you do it today or tomorrow, you give up. Some people are nice as long as the going is good. But when there is a storm or winds of adverse effect, they don't want. But God is faithful to us, and he says to us that his faithfulness is such that it is great. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. They endure for us, for me, and for you at all times in every situation. God has never failed you. If you think he has failed you, think twice. God has never failed any that trust in him, that put their faith in the Lord. One way or the other, he will come through for you. So God is calling us on the line and the type of faithfulness that we see in this board. They build their nest in faithfulness for their children to be able to develop and overcome adversity in time to come. They even have faithfulness in the community that when these other eagles, the older eagles are going through the process of renewing their strength. They pluck their feather, they pluck their talons, they pluck their fingers, they pluck everything that makes them an eagle. An eagle without a bow, without feathers and talons and stuff is just an ordinary bird. And so are you. A child of God without the Holy Spirit is not a Christian. So this other boss reached out to them. They know that Sister so-and-so is going through a rough time. That eagle so-and-so is going through a time he doesn't have. You know what the other eagles do? They go and hunt for them. And come into where they are and drop the food, the carcass, freshly killed, for them to be able to eat and continue living. That is the kind of faithfulness that is found in animal that is created by God. And God is likening us to these things to show us that we are to emulate some of this in our life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. A steward is required to be faithful. If you are dealing in any aspect of your life, either in money, you are the one that's holding the money in family, or in the church, or in anywhere, you are required to be faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you are the one in charge of whatever it is that God has put you in the ministry, as a minister, as a praise team leader, as a prayer team leader, whatever it is, be faithful in doing it, for there is a reward, a due reward for them that remain faithful in the call that God has called you to be. Do not change because others are not doing it with you. Do not change because your husband is not as much as faithful as you in working hard, in bringing things and doing things that you should do. Do not change because your wife is not what you thought it is. You say, I'm going to give up on my faithfulness on my wife. No! One man was saying, well, my wife cheated on me, I'll go out and cheat. I said, how does that solve the problem? My husband cheated, therefore I'll go and cheat. No. Remain faithful, not because of this other person, but because you have faith in God. The ability to do things that is right and to continue doing it is my simple definition of faithfulness. the things that is right and to continue in it. Until when? Until Christ comes. Do not change. Do not change your character for evil because evil people are around. Do not take away your bowels of mercies because other people have not shown you mercy. Do not take away your nature of compassion because other people are not showing you compassion. Blind yourself to those things and do what is right, and God will be glorified in your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The other part of ego is that egos flock together. They come together. They assemble together. Though you don't see an ego with a vulture. You don't see an ego flying together with a crow or scallions. They separate. They say, be ye separate. The Lord has called us unto separation from what? From the world. Separation from anything ungodly. Separation from evil. Separation from things that does not uplift the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? This is a strong word, but that is how our God is defining our being together. Where we find ourselves. That you are girlfriends. That you are boyfriends. That you are friends. That you are this and that. What are they? What character do they manifest that you should associate with them? This even goes to people in marriage. This goes to people in business. You have to be careful who you associate with because no matter what, the house you enter will have a smell in it. And you cannot walk out without catching some of that smell. There is a dust in that place you are sitting. When you walk out, you are going to walk out with some of the dust on you. So make sure that where you are entering, make sure that where you are going to be, make sure that your association is such that they will not influence you adversely to the calling of God in your life. Be not unequally yoked. In yoking in those days, you bring a cattle that is a big cattle like this, and then you take a smaller one and yoke them together. Before they plow for 2 hours, the young one's neck has broken. So they make sure that they choose a cow, a heifer, a bull that is matching in size, and then yoke them together so that they can be able to plow or run or do whatever they have to do together on equal strength, on equal basis. But when you, a Christian, goes and hitch together with things that is contrary, things that is elemental, that's minor, what it does is that it will affect you one way or the other. It's either it breaks your neck or you break their neck. So Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you are going through with them, if you are associating with them, you have to be very careful. You are not even supposed to go, especially in marriage, with them. You may not be able to avoid it in business world or things and so on and so forth, but you have to go with your eyes clear. Oh, Emmanuel, come and do some drug. No, I don't do drug. Tomorrow they repeat it because they are relentless. They are an agent. Oh, come on, let's go do something. My wife is this, my husband is that. This is how you deal with your stubborn wife. This is how you deal with your useless husband. And you buy it and take it home and destroy your home. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Well, what fellowship had righteousness, which God has called us unto, with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? There's no association. Now you have to go to them, minister to them, convert them to the Lord, But be careful where you go, the extent you go, what you do with them, the business you do with them, the association you have with them. And when it comes to marriage, God draw a line, because that is a band that once you say, I do, you cannot retrace it. So, ego are faithful. And ego also does not mix together. They fly on their own. They go to their own. They associate with their own. And they separate themselves for a purpose. They are egos. You are egos. An ego, as I say, does not meet with the scavengers. You are to stand firm in your principles. They are a very principled bird. They have certain things they don't change on. All these characteristics we pointed out, it doesn't change in them. It's inborn. It's part of them. And they manifest it consistently. These are the areas that God has called me and you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us also read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And Hebrews, let's start with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, please. Hebrews 10, 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You are not to forsake the assemblies of the children of God. Egos flock together. He said, where the carcass is, there shall the egos be gathered. Carcass is the animal, the fresh kill they just killed. They come together to feed together. They come together to kill together. They come together to hunt together. They come together for different purposes. We come together as children of God to feed one another. And some people say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't really go to church. I'm a Christian, I don't like to go to church. I just watch it on TV and stuff. You are not going to grow spiritually. Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Do not forsake the assembly of the children. At times, life, things, need, and so on and so forth may affect once in a while. But jump right back into it. Get into that prayer line. Get into that group that God has called you into. Get into that church and fellowship. And associate with other brethren. Pray for them, they will pray for you. Ask how they are doing, they will do. That communion is important for you to maintain your Christianity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, also, it is said that egos do not eat dead things, or that they prefer fresh kills. In this case, we are talking about revelation. We are talking about the word of God. We are talking about being able to pull from the scriptures or hear from the scriptures fresh, new, lively word of God to feed you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Fresh revelations or dead, stagnant things they don't associate with. They like to dine in new, freshly killed animals. And in this area, I'm going to go a lot further to say certain things this morning that I hope those who are watching or who we watch can take it with them, because we live in a very dire time. Christianity has become like a social club. We are back to eating dead things. The foundation of righteousness is not being looked into. Church is just a place to go on Sunday And at times from Monday to Saturday, you live your life like any other person. Ego does not eat datings or prefer fresh kills. This word of God has life in it. And there's revelation from the word of God to you, to me, every day, if you only adhere and look into it, that helps to build you up as Christians. Today, many of the churches have become, unfortunately, some of the churches has become scavengers. They dine on old things. They go back to things that is not godly. Some even go back to pull things from the ungodly ways of the old medieval times. And they bring it out to teach to people. And they bring it out to say it out in the open. I'm going to name some of the things this morning. And they are not ashamed of it. An ego does not mix. An ego remains faithful. An ego associates with his kind. An ego prefers fresh kill. Part of the reason why the church of today is what we are is that we have developed itching ears. People want to go to church where they are comfortable. People want to associate where they are comfortable. The word of God is not introduced to you to make you comfortable. It's for reproof, for rebuke, for correction in righteousness. It is actually meant to be like ego when it takes that thorn and put in the nest to poke you to action, to activate you to move to a higher level. People have developed preaching here that when they see them today and you say something that does not agree with them, they will not take time to go look at the scripture and say, is he saying the truth? Am I the one at fault? My lifestyle that is being rebuked here, my system, my what I'm doing that is contrary, is it right? No, they will just pack up and leave. They'll quit. So today, to adapt, many ministers has become like servants as scallions, like vultures. They eat their things, and so they introduce their things to the body of Christ to keep membership going. God help you if you're a new minister in that place, that mega church or whatever. And you start to speak things that will make people to leave the church. How is the money going to come? How is the resources going to come if they run away? But the word of God is not what, that's not what God calls us to. He calls us to make a change in people's life. You, me, every one of us. And when you are not fulfilling that, then you are, like Isaiah says, a shepherd dog that does not bark. A shepherd dog is supposed to bark and say what is wrong or right and bark, you know, put the sheep together, guide them left and right. And when they have no voice to bark, then they are useless. They have developed itching ears. Perverse teachings, multiculturalism, pluralism is in the church, alternate lifestyle, hell-bound demonic-inspired ideology is now the order of the day. The norm is like in Babylon, as one servant of God said, money is now their God. It's a pressure of life, their high priest, and unbridled passion, the ritual of worship. The downfall of this time we are living in among the churches, among the body, is the desire to conform to the world instead of being separate. Oh, you build the biggest of mansions, or the church is the best looking one, I have to build my own. And to make it work, they start to preach from this pulpit things that are contradictory. They do things, fake things, put things together that is false to entice people. At times when I read some of this stuff, I say, who are these people who are getting into this? Can they see from the scripture that it is contrary? Multiculturalism that they're bringing into the church is bring your culture, whatever it is. We accept it. Your culture of paganism, bring it into the church. Your culture of unrighteousness, oh, it's acceptable. Your culture of disobedience, of destroying even your family, it's okay. We'll manage with it. Your culture of not living the life that God has called us to live, you find a way around it, it is acceptable. But that is not the calling of God to the saints of God. The only culture, the one culture we should fight for, to retain, to maintain, to hold, is the culture of Christ. The love of God, the message of God, the goodness of God, and so on and so forth. That is the culture we should adhere to. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Babylon, he said, then where everything goes in, everything works there, everything is acceptable there. But that is where the God of Christianity has called us out and said, come out of her, my people. Do not be part of her so that you do not share with her judgment. Come out of her. Leave that place. The churches now are going into different kind of ideology that is very disturbing. The order and the mouthpiece of the accuser is teaching that we are overcommitted. Overcommitted Christian? Overcommitted to the scriptures. Even some well-known ministers are now teaching that we shouldn't commit to the foundation of our faith. The day America starts moving away from the constitution that God has ordained and inspired to the fathers, it's a divine constitution written. That's why some will defend it with their life in this country. Because they know that the day we start moving from that divine-inspired constitution, America will not exist. The church, the day we start to move from the doctrines, from the teaching, from the word of God, and we start to move away from this truth. Because some people are saying we overcommitted. You are preaching of forgiveness, overcommitment. You are preaching of unrighteousness, is overcommitted. You are preaching to be good to others, to be kind to others, to love others like God loves you, is overcommitment. The commitment over what they want you is to, I'm even worried that I am undercommitted, that I'm not doing as much as God wants me to do. But they are telling we are putting too much effort in doing what is in the scriptures. That is ungodly teaching. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In doing this, they promote things that is adversary. They promote things that is in line with their interfaith reconciliation. Yesterday, I received a text from somebody, and this is all over the whole world. It's a foundation that has been laid for some time now. It has been creeping up gradually. Interfaith reconciliation. The temple or the church is called Jehovah Allah Temple. That was just yesterday. A very big place. And now changed to a good name, Jehovah Allah. So now they sing their hymns and they preach on Islam. So now they say, well, one wife is no more it. Allah can marry 700 and 800 concubines. So they now say this and that and things that is contrary to the word of God. And it is acceptable because you are overcommitted to it, so reduce it, dilute it. Move away from that level of thought. Come down to our level. The Bible says, run with your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do not be part of this. Move away from Babylon way of thinking. Today we have among us people that says these things, and the whole objective is to dilute your faith. I said here, the body of Christ is losing its spiritual equilibrium. The great damage to the church is not the power of hell. For Christ has overcome for us and can raise a standard when the enemy comes like a flood. The great enemy is the subtle false teaching that erodes the foundation of our faith. Like the serpent whispered to Eve, has God said it? And that one clause of statement, not even a full statement, changed the dynamic of the whole world till today. Have God said it? Did he say you should live righteous life? Did he say you should love your neighbor? Did he say you should forgive them that hurt you? Did he say that vengeance is mine? Give it to the Lord. Told somebody about somebody who is hurting me pretty bad yesterday. Again, yesterday, somebody I was talking to. He said, has the person died? I said, what? I'm not praying for them to die. I'm asking for God's mercy. He didn't reply. Has God said that one word, that one phrase changed everything till today? Eve was deceived because of it. Doubt was sown in her mind immediately. Has God said you should not eat of this fruit? But God has said don't eat of it. Well, God said it. But then, has God said you shouldn't commit fornication? Is it really possible for you to live as a Christian and don't? Is it wise? It's not the way that the Lord made you. Now to think twice about these things, man. Has God said is the whispered word that the enemy spoke to Eve and he changed. But for the grace of God that brought Christ Jesus, mankind will have been lost totally because of that one word have God said. It is the word that brought the fall of mankind. The damage is in the corruption of the word, the organization of the Holy Spirit out of the church, whereby he is standing by the door saying, come out of Babylon, my people, so that we don't share of our cup of iniquity. Through the ages, the branch started out well with good intention. Then they introduced human ideology, causing erosion of the truth. These cancer festers until they become the shell of their original self. I was in a group and they started to speak against children of God, writing heinous things about what is happening. And unfortunately, some of these things are true. Ministers doing things that God has not called them to do, a shameful tragedy. I usually don't do much, but I commented, we are not like that. I'm a minister also. What kind of minister? I said, what do you do with money? I said, tell them. He said, you are backward. Say, didn't you? Were you not condemning this thing? And then I say, I'm not like that. And you turn around to condemn, we are backward. That we are transparent with what God has given us here. That we do not abuse. We do not allot it over the lost people. We do not go around chasing or pulling or trying to destroy family to our own advantage and say we are backward. Because that is the norm. God has called us to a different pattern of life than what is out there in the world. So these ministries, when they come, in the beginning, they show forth the nature of Christ until they allow human ideology, doctrines, and teachings to come in. Martin Luther was one of them. That burning branch came through and received a revelation from God. The Lutherans is what they call them. He got a revelation one day, not going to go into detail, and dusted himself out from the dust and said, wow, God just spoke to me and revealed to me that the just shall live by faith. Not by selling all this cross, piece of cross that they say, okay, Christ is passed of the cross that Christ had in Jerusalem 2,000 a year, and they sell a piece of it for a lot of money in the church and this and that. Say, no, the just shall live by faith. That burning branch took the word of God across the nation, across continent, to the point that the people, the rulers of the earth in his time, were shaken. And they gathered together against the Lord's anointed and said, has God said these things you said? Yes, God have said it. And they start to persecute him, and they start to fight against him. Emperors, kings, popes, monarchs, every one of them come together against him. He stood firm on that word, that the just shall live by faith, and that our righteousness is of Christ Jesus. Today, you don't want to see how he has been mixed up, turned around, become a cauldron. Some of them, not all of them, a cauldron of something that is purely ungodly. The teachings are being accepted in some of them. That the just shall live by faith was the foundation he used. And that the call of righteousness we have is through Christ, so that you have to work higher, work harder. To attain it, you don't take it for granted. Today, that burning branch has been doused a lot. Wesley came in his own time too. Methodist and stuff. They have a method of doing things that will practically principle and direct you to godliness, like discipleship. That great son of God, a shining light he was, moved on to do so many great things for God in his time, and look at where we are today. Are you hearing much of it? Because they allow the cancer, the manipulation of Christ out of his church, introduction of Babylon into the household of faith. Today, it's a dimming light, but for grace of God. The Pentecostals jumped into action, and many of them are still doing well, because I want to say clearly that God will always have a remnant. A remnant among the Lutherans, a remnant among the Methodists, a remnant among the nominal, a remnant among the Pentecostal. There will always be this, not all, but some gives us really very bad name that makes it hard for us to work for God's kingdom because of the name they portray out there, the style of their belief system and the things they teach and the things they do. Everybody now judge you by it, the same standard. They globally lump us all together. But that is not the case. There's always going to be a remnant of the Lord's choosing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? So now, the Pentecostal come and look at what they are. For political recognition, for power, for money, for different things, they are just about to yield to the world. They now uphold things they shouldn't uphold. They support things that is shameful because they want to be recognized. They want power, they want money. And the smaller churches now, to be able to compete, have to adapt and do the same thing. But, like the, what is in our podium here, the eagle lifting the scroll, I pray that this little work we have here will endure to God's glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We cannot be at ease in Zion, brethren. We cannot sing the songs of captivity in a strange land. We are called out people and called a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, with the single purpose to declare the praise of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As we wait for the manifestation of the sons of God, there will be a call to spiritual arms, a return to the old ways, and tested time and honored ways, causing a shifting of the wheat from the chaff. Brethren, like the eagles, do not contend for rotting foods, but desire the sincere spiritual food that edifies. But be of good cheer. God has made a promise in the book of Joel, chapter 2, 25. Let's read quickly as we close. Joel 2, 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worms, my great army, which I sent among you. There will be a restoration. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 God have lamented, and there will be a restoration in Jeremiah chapter 2:13. He says that all these things has happened because of what? Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13, please. Say it. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters, and hewed them out, existence, broken system that hold no water. A system is, in the days of medieval time, they find a rock, they build, they crop that rock, and, you know, hew it out and use it as a water retainer. If the city is attacked, just like we have reservoirs today, but now we use concrete, we use metal. So they hew this rock and then do it. And they put water there. If the town is attacked, they lock the gate and they can't go to fetch water outside. So they depend on that. Christ said that he is the water, the living water indeed. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters. That is one. Don't need any other water when we have him. They went to hew for themselves a cistern, but what they have done is a broken one, so that when they're in dire need of water, they come, the water has seeped back to the earth because it's broken. They cannot hold no water. But hear the promise of God. He said, I will restore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I will restore the years the locusts, the cankerworms, the caterpillars, and the palmer worms has eaten these armies. The Lord will restore because he has promised he will do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord will do it to his glory because he will make a way for the ransomed of the Lord to return. We are not among those who will sing the song of Zion in a strange land. You are called to be eagles of the Lord. The Christian journey is not an easy one, brethren. It's challenging to say the least. But we have to fight and continue to fight to overcome. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We cannot yield ground. We cannot give up. We cannot back up. We cannot say no to what God has put in us. It's a fight, but remember that the end, there's a glorious welcoming. The end of it will be such that me and you will have every cause to rejoice, that we have fought the good fight of faith and achieved the crown that Christ has promised us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. There shall be light at evening time, and the command will stand. Take, touch not my anointed, and do my eagles no harm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand on our feet, everybody. God will make it happen. That at evening time there shall be light. And the promise is that the face of the earth will be covered as the sea, as the water covers the. The glory of the Lord shall be all over the whole earth as the water covers the sea. God has promised this. He will also give a command, just like he did it in the days of the old, to touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm or eagles no harm, because this is the hand of the Lord. Amen. It's not by might. It's not by might. It's not by power. But by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might. It's not by might. It's not by power. Yes, by my spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. Hallelujah. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. Oh, yeah.
By my spirit, says the Lord.
Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will start to reveal himself to remove the gross out of the eyes of this generation. That the call to arms, the clarion calls that is being made, will be heard. That many will see the errors of their way and change from it, especially those that are the ministers of God. For I say that judgment will start even in the household of faith. Arise, O God, for the defense of your people at this hour and time. For darkness, gross darkness, seems, tries to cover the earth. But he said that at evening time there shall be light again. Lord, bring forth your light again, O God. Raise pillars, Lord. Raise people. Raise servants. Raise faithful custodians of this world. That we shake the foundations again, like in the days of the old, whereby all will come to know that our God reigns. Thank you, Father. Do a new things in our life, even at this hour. Even so, Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Amen.